So yes, today we celebrate 71 years of God's power through Grace Bible Church, God's power in Grace Bible Church. I wonder if those founding families 71 years ago could have even imagined what God had in store here. But today as we celebrate, it's oftentimes in celebration when we recognize these major milestones, we must remember, of course, that all the credit, all the glory, all the honor belongs to the Lord alone. See, our 71-year anniversary is not just about the numbers, but it's really about God's power at work through this church over the years. And Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 is a great reminder to us that our past victories, our present growth, and our future hope, all is because of Him. So today, as we celebrate God's power at work in Grace Bible Church, here's what we're going to do together for the next few minutes. We're going to take a look at Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Two concluding verses of a powerful prayer that Paul lifts up to the Lord in the book of Ephesians. And as we go through these two verses together, we're going to pause along the way to recognize and celebrate specific ways that God has demonstrated His power in the past, in the present, and Lord willing, in our future. So open your Bible up to Ephesians chapter 3, and let me begin by reading for you verses 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, obviously, today we're pausing our study in the book of Revelation, and we're looking now just at these two verses at the end of Ephesians chapter 3. Now, really, these last two verses are just the concluding part of a larger prayer that Paul makes at the end of Ephesians chapter 3. And this pivotal prayer is a segue in Paul's book, his letter to the church in Ephesus, where at the beginning of the letter, he's focusing in on doctrine and teaching. But then in the second half of Ephesians, Paul shifts and he begins to talk about real practical application to what he has said before. So this prayer begins in verse 14, but we're going to focus in just on these last two verses, the conclusion to Paul's prayer. And there are a few really important words and phrases that I want you to see in these two verses. First, I want you to notice the major theme in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Let me read verse 20 for you again. Paul says this, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." Now I want you to take note of three words here in verse 20. Able, power, and works. Able, power, and works. Now for the original readers or listeners of this letter, those reading or hearing in the Greek language, even a cursory reading of this letter, people would have picked up on a repeated theme in these three words. And the theme is the power of God. With these three words, able, power, and works, Paul emphasizes that God is able, or literally powerful, to do anything. Second, He works according to power. And then the third, it works, or literally energizes us. Paul is emphasizing God's divine power at work in the church. God possesses divine power, and He uses that divine power to produce, to accomplish, to bring about unimaginable things. Paul's point, his emphasis, is God's divine power at work in the church. But notice, Paul doesn't simply say that God is able, that God is powerful. But I want you to notice the superlatives that Paul piles on here in verse 20. God is able, notice, to do far more abundantly. But not only that, God is able to do far more abundantly beyond. God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask. And not only that, God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or even think. I love what Dr. Harold Honer, brilliant scholar from Dallas Seminary who, before he went to be with the Lord, called Grace Bible Church his home church. He said this, this phrase could literally be translated, to the one who is able to do beyond everything, very far in excess of that which we ask or even think. In other words, God's ability far surpasses not only what we verbalize in prayer, but also beyond our wildest imaginations. God is able to do far beyond, infinitely beyond, not only what we ask of him in prayer, but even beyond what our minds can imagine. But let me ask you, do you believe that? Do you really believe in that depth of God's power? Do you pray like that? Do you pray that God is able to do things that are even beyond your wildest imaginations? I love what the great missionary Hudson Taylor said. He said, there are three stages in any great work of God. First, it is impossible. Second, it is difficult. And third, it is done. See, God has the power to take what we think is humanly impossible. He then demonstrates his power to convince us that it's maybe just difficult, but then ultimately God makes it done. He accomplishes it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I also love what A.W. Tozer convictingly says. He says, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things we can do by ourselves. God is looking for men and women through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity, however, that we plan in our own efforts to do the things that we can do by ourselves. But the key truth I want you to see here in this first phrase is that God is able to do more than just what we think. He's able to do much more than we can even ask or imagine. It's amazing that throughout the history of Grace Bible Church, we have seen God's superabundant power at work to overcome the humanly impossible things. This goes all the way back to our very beginning, when Grace Bible Church first began in 1954, when the church was still in its infancy, when financial resources were limited, when there was lots of uncertainties about the future of this church. Even still, the elders decided to support its first missionaries, Brad and Betty Lapsley, who were preparing to go to Ethiopia. The church stepped out in faith, believing that God not only had great things in store here, but also around the world. And the elders' decision was made even before we had our own financial footing. This reminds me of the great quote by Corrie Ten Boom, who said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God, because he is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. So that's God's power at work in our past. But let me ask you another question. If God's power has been at work in our past, then what more do you think he can do in our future? For 71 years, God has provided, protected, and guided this church, but I promise you, he's not finished with us yet. So don't limit what God is able to do. He's still able to do far more than we can even ask or imagine. The second phrase I want you to see is there at the end of verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, notice the last phrase, according to the power that works, present tense, according to the power that works within us. Notice that God's power is still actively, presently at work within us, within you. See, God's power is not just this ethereal concept, this abstract idea, but God's power is presently at work within the church. One of the key things we see here in this little phrase is that God's power is not just working around us, it is, but it's also working within us. I love what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, that the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The very same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in each and every one of you if you have believed in Jesus. Do you believe that? Again, this is true, of course, only if you have put your faith in Jesus. See, the reality is each and every one of us, we were born dead, spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins. Paul makes this clear earlier in the book of Ephesians. But the good news of the gospel is that while we were still dead in our trespasses and sins, God has made us alive in Christ because Jesus came and he died on the cross in your place, in my place. He paid the penalty for your sin and my sin. And that simply by believing in him for the forgiveness of sins, you're made alive in Christ. You're reconciled, you're redeemed, you're restored in your relationship with the holy God. And if there's anybody here this morning in person or watching online, if you don't know for sure that you are saved, I want to give you the opportunity, the invitation right where you are to put your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And now as a believer, the very power of the resurrected life of Christ is lived out in you. The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in you. He's working according to the power that works within us. God's power has been at work here at Grace in the past. And praise the Lord, God's power is at work here at Grace in the present. Let me give you an example. Just a few weeks ago, we had our largest Get to Know Grace class on record in our history. And in your bulletin this morning, there are several pictures and names of people who not only went through the class, but also applied for membership, who were interviewed by our elders. And we thank you for joining our church. We celebrate God's work in your life today. Also in the last year, including today, we've had, I believe, 15 baby dedications, 30 baptisms, and 73 new members in the last year. Yeah, praise the Lord. God's power is still at work here at Grace Bible Church. And those are just the quantitative numbers. Behind all of those quantitative numbers, there are numerous qualitative stories of God's power still at work in you and through you. God's power is at work at Grace in the past, in the present, and Lord willing, also in the future. I've shared with you in weeks past some of the big projects we've been working on, things like our shepherding plan, where we want to have each and every household assigned to one of our elders, and our elders will be contacting you and praying for you. I've told you about our strategic educational discipleship strategy in our kids ministry, student ministry, young adult ministry, adult ministry, where we have a very strategic plan to make sure that everyone is continuing on in their discipleship journey. We've told you a little bit about our facility master plan. These are some major projects where we believe God still has yet a future, a powerful future for Grace Bible Church. And by the way, in the coming weeks and months, I'm going to be giving you updates on those major projects we've been working on. But here's the thing. Most importantly, what I want you to understand, I'm sharing these things with you not to brag, because the truth of the text here is that growth, revival, transformation, these things don't come from programs or personalities, but they come from the power of God at work within us. And if we depend on God's power, there is no limit to what he can do here at Grace, according to the power that works within us. The third phrase I want you to see at the end of verse 21, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Notice how Paul ends this prayer. Two parts here. First, to him be the glory in the church. Listen, every success that we have seen as a church in the last 71 years, any success that we're seeing today, any success that we will see in the future, we must remember that he, not us, certainly not me, gets all the glory, all the credit. The key truth here is that the church is not about us, but the church exists to bring glory to God alone. This is why our purpose here at Grace is to make disciples of Jesus, to make followers of Jesus. This is why our vision is that each and every one of you, when you stand before the Lord Jesus, he will look at you and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." This is why our mission is to equip you with the truth of God's word so you go out and engage people with the gospel, and then we collectively come together each week to exalt God, to celebrate who he is and what he has done. And if our motive is God's glory and God's glory alone, then he will bless our efforts. He'll continue to bless our efforts. Now finally, I want you to notice this last phrase of verse 21, to all generations forever and ever, amen. To all generations, forever and ever, amen. Historically, Grace Bible Church has played a significant role in training future Christian leaders worldwide. We've been blessed that Grace has been the spiritual home for many notable theologians, pastors, and missionaries, men like Harold Honer that I mentioned earlier, even Chuck Swindoll got his start here at Grace Bible Church. And those are just the kind of household names. But behind them are hundreds of seminary students and church members like you who went on to serve as pastors, as missionaries, and as educators all over the world. We've seen generational discipleship and global discipleship through our church. And again, this continues today in the present. We still have students from Dallas Seminary who call Grace their home church while they're here. And when they graduate, they have plans to pastor churches in the U.S. and all around the world. And even today, as I look around this room, I see many of you who are involved in ministries all over DFW. And we continue to be committed to reaching multiple generations right here in our own church. I recently spoke with one of our new members who's commented to me that that's one of the things they like about our church is that we're multi-generational. We have young and old and people from all around the world. Listen, each Sunday, when I show up, I park at the far end of the parking lot, and I take the time as I walk through the parking lot to pray and to thank God for this church and for you. And this morning, as I made that walk across our parking lot, I couldn't help but just be overwhelmed with emotion of God's faithfulness to this church over the last 71 years. To thank him for the privilege it is for these last 4 years and counting to be the senior pastor at a church like Grace Bible Church. Today we celebrate 71 years of God's power at work here at Grace. We give thanks to him for his power in the past. We give thanks to him for his power in the present. And we give thanks to him for, Lord willing, his power in our future. The same God who brought us this far will, I pray, continue to lead us into the next decades. But we must remain faithful, dependent upon his power, committed to his glory, as we boldly say together, to him be glory in the church forever and ever. Amen. There on the backside of your outline, I've given you some application questions to consider. But your one thing for this week is simply this: as you reflect on these 71 years and counting of God's faithfulness to grace, what is one way you can personally respond in faith and obedience to glorify God in the days ahead? Whether through prayer, service, generosity, or just stepping out in faith, how will you live in light of God's power and glory to you? Just the other day, about a week ago, the oven in our home quit working. The 220-volt plug was fried. The electronics in the oven are fried. There's no power. Now, an oven with no power doesn't get hot. I don't know if you knew that or not. An oven with no power doesn't cook. An oven that doesn't get hot doesn't really serve much of a purpose. But when you have power to the oven, now you're cooking. When you have power to the oven, an oven does what an oven was designed to do. And in a similar way, you and I and this church, we are powerless without the power of God working in us. But with the power of God working in us, now we're cooking. And there's no limit to what God can cook up here at Grace Bible Church. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we do stand in awe of your power, declaring with grateful hearts that you are the God who does exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or can even imagine, according to your power at work within us. Today, as we celebrate 71 years of your power at Grace Bible Church, we give you all the honor, all the glory. You have been our rock, our provider, our sustainer through every season, good and bad. We thank you for every soul that has been saved, every life that has been transformed, every heart that has been encouraged. And Lord, we trust that your work, your power in this church is not yet complete. As we celebrate the present and as we look to the future, we trust in your limitless power to lead us forward. Help us by your power to continue to be a church that shines your light, that preaches your word, that loves as you have called us to love. Fill us with fresh vision, renewed passion, and unwavering faith to fulfill the mission you have entrusted to us. And to you alone, Father, Son, and Spirit, be glory in the church throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.